Good morning, everybody. Today's devotional will be on Isaiah 56, and I shall read that for us. Isaiah 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come, and my righteousness will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name, better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him, besides those already gathered. All you beasts of the field come to devour, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all without knowledge, they are all silent dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. The dogs have a mighty appetite, they never have enough. But they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. Come, they say, let me get wine. Let us fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow will be like this day, great beyond measure. Today's passage is quite significant in that it's one of the prophecies in the Old Testament that points towards the inclusion of foreigners and outcasted peoples into the family of God, into the kingdom of heaven. Although most of the words that God delivers through Isaiah concerning Israel, concern just Israel in specific, he makes sure to include a promise to those that may know the Lord, but feel like they were disqualified from his goodness. We see that God extends his salvation to all, and the requirement for receiving what the Lord will give is simply to be devoted to him. And the New Testament is proof that what the Lord declares here eventually comes to pass. And we see through the Acts of the Apostles and the adventures of Paul and the move of the Holy Spirit throughout all the land that the gospel is given to both the Jews and the Gentiles. But what God reveals to his people in today's passage, right there and then through Isaiah, is something really crucial about his character. He reveals that what his favor and blessing and salvation is based on is not one's past pedigree, but on their current devotion. He says to the foreigner and to the eunuch, two groups of people that would have been considered outsiders to the people of Israel, just keep justice and do righteousness, and you will be blessed. Just keep the Sabbath and do what is pleasing and don't do what is evil, and you will be brought near to me. It doesn't matter if you're a foreigner or if you're a eunuch. Whoever you are, if you hold fast my covenant, you will be accepted by me and be given an everlasting name, better than sons and daughters. Now, this would be absolutely counter to what God's people believed, because all along, they had placed great value in their identity as Israel, as God's chosen, who he had set apart. Their past pedigree in their minds would give them access to God, even though they were sorely lacking in current devotion. But God shows us that he had flipped the script, that what matters most to him is a covenant heart, a heart that is committed to choosing God and desiring him. As long as you had that, as long as you oriented your life toward following him, you would receive the fullness of his goodness. During my brief time in California, I worked at a well-known coffee shop in the Southern California area, one that's renowned for their dedication to the craft and for their continual striving towards excellence. And upon first joining the team, I quickly realized that a big reason why this coffee company enjoyed so much success was because of the relentless mindset of the owner. To the owner, all he was concerned about was making great coffee, providing top-notch hospitality, and constantly improving in what we did. Now, because of this, our staff meetings and our trainings were intense. It was a meritocracy to the extreme. Everyone was expected to be perfect in coffee practice and experts in coffee theory, from the cashier to the barista to even the social media head. The new hires were held to the same standards as the veterans, and the veterans were afforded no more leniency than the new hires. I have memories of the owner sending the shift leads and the store managers over to learn from their juniors if he felt they did a better job, and report back to the team in front of everyone what they learned from their observing. It was hard work and high stakes, always being expected to perform and never catching a break, but it instilled upon everyone that what mattered most was how much commitment we demonstrated, not how long we'd been on the team or what title we had. If we were committed, we would do well and go far. If we weren't committed, nothing would make up for it. A message of hope for those who were hungry, and a sobering reminder for those who were comfortable. Similarly, God's promise to grant salvation to any who might seek him and to cut off any who turn away from him should also hit us twofold. It's an offer of grace that no matter who we are, no matter how many times we fall into sin or distance ourselves from intimacy with the Lord, he will readily bless us so long as we return to him with a repentant heart and a desire to choose the things that please him once more. But it's also a reminder that the call to keep justice and do righteousness, to love the name of the Lord and to keep his covenant, is a lifelong one. We can't be like the Israelites who grew comfortable in receiving God's grace without responding in devotion. I don't know which message is for you this morning, but I hope you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you this morning accordingly. If you feel like an outsider, like you've disqualified yourself from the presence of the Father, know that Jesus is the way to return to him. He'll bring you to his holy mountain. He'll make you joyful in his house of prayer. What you bring to him will be accepted by him, so long as you choose to be devoted to him. If you confess that you've been maybe a little too comfortable in your walk with him, choosing to grow stagnant instead of continuing in worship, I pray that you're convicted to turn back to him in fullness and with all passion and joy. The Lord has strong words against those among his people that had the pedigree but not the devotion, calling them blind, without knowledge or understanding. It's not something he takes lightly. But we know that to them also, he extends his mercy and calls them back toward him. Regardless of where you are, let's pray that he gives us the strength and grace today to give him greater devotion. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this gift of salvation. We thank you that you extend to us a new life, not one that's based on our pedigree or something that we can't control. But as long as we seek you, as long as we take that first step, you extend to us much grace. Lord, we confess that it can be easy at times for us to grow complacent, to grow comfortable. And we also confess that there are times where we might feel like we have to earn it, or conversely, that we can't earn it, no matter how much we try. Lord, in both circumstances, I pray that you minister to us. Remind us that you extend grace for all. And it's a grace that starts with us taking that step toward you and declaring that you are Lord over our life. Help us to declare that once again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.